We head now to El Salvador, where documentary filmmaker Christian Poveda was buried yesterday afternoon. Poveda's body was found with gunshot wounds last week in the northern town of El Rosario. His death is believed to be related to the subject of his work, the gang warfare that has been tearing apart El Salvador for decades. His latest documentary, La Vida Loca, narrates the life of several members of a notorious Salvadoran gang, the M18. It's scheduled for release later this month. Joining us now is Julio Marenco. He's a Washington correspondent for El Salvador's La Prensa Gráfica, and he formerly was their international editor in El Salvador. He's here with me in our Washington studio. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What do we know about the death of Christian Poveda? Do we know for a fact that it is believed that his death was the result of his work? Do we know this?
It is believed it was totally related to his work. And actually, five gang members were arrested yesterday in San Salvador, and a police officer, all of them accused of his death.
Why? What was the purpose?
The documentary is set to be released on September 30th, like later this month, but it was released in TV in Spain last month. And it took the pirate DVD makers only a day to put DVD copies in San Salvador, in the street. They were being sold by a dollar by street vendors. And the gangs were unhappy about it because they thought Poveda was making a revenue out of their misery, because most of the subjects in the film are either dead or in prison.
So it's not that they objected to the subject matter, but that they felt that they should be paid for it?
Yes, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Mr. Poveda was a French national, as I think you mentioned. How did he get so interested in El Salvador, and was El Salvador the main subject of his work?
Actually, he had covered wars all over the world. He was in Iraq, he was in Afghanistan, and he was in the Western Sahara. That was his first assignment back in the 70s. But he came to El Salvador to cover the war back in the 80s, and he fell, in his own words, he fell in love with El Salvador, and he fell in love with a Salvadoran woman. He was living with her for almost a decade. And after the war, he came to cover the aftermath, the peace accords in 1992. And one of the byproducts of the peace accords were the gangs that were actually created here in the United States, in Los Angeles, and they were exported back to El Salvador.
Actually, tell me more about that. I mean, many Americans are familiar with the MS-13.
Yes.
Which is a gang that operates in a number of U.S. cities.
It's a global brand, actually.
It's exactly, yeah. In Central and South America. But I don't know that a lot of people have heard of M18.
Actually, M18 is pretty active in the West Coast. M stands for Mara, which is the Salvadoran slang for gang. And the names MS-13 and M-18 come after 13th Street and 18th Street in Los Angeles, actually, because they were founded in those streets by Salvadoran and Central American immigrants who were striving to protect themselves, especially from white supremacists and from black gangs in the late 60s. And there were newcomers in the 80s.
So these were actually founded in the U.S.
It was founded in the
U.S. And when you say they were exported to El Salvador, what do you mean?
In the 90s, there was a big crackdown on gangs in L.A., and most of the immigrants who were part of the gangs were deported back to El Salvador where they found a very fertile ground for creating new gangs. I mean, the gangs had been in El Salvador for a number of years, and I remember when I was growing up, they were gangs all over, but they weren't nearly as violent as they are right now.
What do these gangs do? What are they all about? I mean, I think people think of gangs in one of two ways, which overlap. Sometimes it's kind of like a social thing for kids to do who don't have a lot of direction in their life, and they kind of get into random acts of kind of mayhem, but it's mainly something for them to do. The other way we look at gangs is as criminal enterprises, sophisticated criminal enterprises that engage in, you know, carjacking, drug dealing, prostitution, and all these other activities. So in El Salvador,
they're both. There's a big cultural phenomena around the gangs. They strive in communities that are absolutely out of opportunities. And they also strive in communities that are dealing with poverty, with exclusion, with historical exclusion, and with family disintegration as well. So the gang becomes their family, and the only support they have in a society that don't open many doors for them. At the same time, they are a violent way of life.
What's the relationship between these gangs and the media in El Salvador and the government in El Salvador? I mean, you see how in Mexico, the drug gangs are almost like a rival government in some parts of the country. Is it that way in El Salvador now? And also,
yeah,
have this relationship with sort of the press and the artistic community where people are like doing songs about them and all this other. So what is the situation in El Salvador?
gangs controlled big parts of the territory, especially in the suburban areas. And actually where Poveda was killed is a pretty well-known M18 controlled area. And they can actually impose curfews in large neighborhoods. For example, they can charge street vendors from $1 to $3 per day just for their safety, just for the sake of being there. And there have been cases of street vendors who have been killed for not paying that single dollar. And they control large areas of the population, especially the suburban areas. And they're embedded in the communities because they're part of the communities, their sons, their husbands, their relatives of the communities. And sometimes they even share neighborhoods with the police officers. They live in the same communities. So they're a big part of it.
You mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that five people have been arrested
Yes.
in connection with Poveda's death. What is your sense of that? What's going to happen now?
We're hoping that they're going to go to trial, and four of them are gang members. One of them is a police officer who allegedly provided gunfires and ammunition for the gangs, and one of them was already in prison, and he's allegedly who ordered the murder from the prison. And that's another phenomenon, that most of the main leaders of both gangs, MS-13 and M-18, are already in prison, but they're still commanding the gangs from the prison. And actually, there have been cases where these gang leaders order crimes to be committed here in the U.S.
You know, obviously, this case is going to be very worrisome to journalists, because this is a journalist who is reporting on an important social phenomenon and pays for it with his life. But the film is done. So I wanted to ask you just finally, in the last couple of minutes that we have left, is what do you think is going to be the result of all this? And as a journalist yourself, obviously, what do you hope will be the outcome of this terrible tragedy?
I hope the outcome will be a much more broad discussion about the phenomenon of the gangs, because Christian Poveda was an advocate of including the gangs and not only repress them. He was an advocate of sitting down with them and talk to them. Because for the past 15 years, the governments have followed a mano dura, which is a strong hand policy against them, which is focused on repression only. And the new government that took office in June is pursuing a more, they call it a mano amiga, which is friendly hand, which is an opposite approach to the phenomena. And I hope that after this terrible tragedy, people will start to look at it in a broader sense. I mean, that we have to combine repression, but also we have to do prevention, especially for the younger generations to join the gangs.
Julio Marenco is a Washington correspondent for El Salvador's La Prensa Gráfica. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.